Hi everyone, thanks for tuning in. We're going to be spending the next few weeks looking at the book of Ruth. So if you have a Bible, or if you'd just like to listen, we're just going to read from Ruth chapter 1. So we're going to read from Ruth. You can always pause these things, get the Bible ready, get your cup of tea if you need it. And we're going to read from Ruth chapter 1 now. So if you want to follow along with me, we're going to start in Ruth chapter 1 in verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law. Arriving in Bethlehem, as the barley harvest was beginning. We'll end there, and let's take a moment to pray and ask for God's help as we look at his word together. Lord, we just pray for your help. We thank you that you've given us your word. We pray for help to understand it now. Pray that you'd use this time as we think and reflect on what you have given to us. Please speak to our hearts. Please encourage us and challenge us. And Lord, please be working by your Spirit in the hearts of all those listening and watching. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When life gets hard, which way will you turn? What's your reaction when life is difficult? When you're assembling that pesky IKEA furniture and you can't figure it out, do you turn to the instructions for help, or maybe to a family member who can do it? Or do you just give up? When you're trying to learn that new song on the piano or the guitar, and you just can't get it, where do you turn? Well, maybe YouTube has all the answers, or maybe you can go to a friend who knows how to do it and they can show you. Or when we're surrounded by coronavirus news and updates and misinformation and social restrictions, which way will we turn? Well, like I said, we're going to be spending some time in the book of Ruth in the weeks ahead, and what Ruth has to say is relevant for us. So the beginning of the book sets the scene for all that's going to happen. So what's happening in these first few verses? It says, in the days when the judges ruled. What does that mean? Well, Ruth was set in the time of judges. You know, the guys like Samson, Gideon, Deborah, Ehud. But the time of judges was not a high point in Israel's history. It was a time of political instability, of moral corruption. As you can see, if you have your Bible there, the very last verse in the book of Judges says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. So this was a time where the people did whatever they wanted. And there's this cycle in the book of Judges that the people sin, God brings judgment, the people cry out to God, God raises up a judge like Samson or Gideon, the people are rescued from the situation they're in or the judgment, but then the people sin again. And there's this cycle, and in fact with each judge, it gets worse and worse, like this downward spiral. So this is where Ruth arrives. This is where the book is set. But what else can we see? We're told that there's a famine in the land. We see that in verse 1 as well. And famine was a sign of God's judgment against his people. Just like God had blessings for his people in the Old Testament when they obeyed his covenant, there were curses for when they disobeyed his covenant. And famine was one of those curses. So this is the backdrop to the story set in Bethlehem in Judah. And in this time of disaster, we see people turning away from a righteous God. We see this man called Elimelech and Naomi and their sons, and they leave their home in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. There's nothing better than the smell of freshly baked bread, is there? I love going into a bakery and getting something really tasty, especially if it's got chocolate in it. But imagine getting that smell, walking into the bakery, and it's totally empty. There's nothing on the shelves, nothing there. It's just not right. But that's what's happening here. There's no bread in the house of bread. So the family leave and they go to a foreign land. They uproot, they say goodbye to their friends, and they leave for this land called Moab. You can see, hopefully, on the map there, that they go from Bethlehem across where you can see the arrow pointing into the land called Moab. And this is a land where the people don't worship Yahweh or the Lord. They don't worship him, they worship other gods. And God has said that he wanted this people to stay away from other lands, other nations, like Moab. But they turn away from God, and things go from bad to worse, because we see that Elimelech dies. Very quickly in the story, he's passed away in verse 3. Naomi's husband died, and she was left with her two sons. We see that his sons marry two Moabite women named Orpah and Ruth, but then both sons die. So Naomi is left without her husband, without her sons, in a foreign land. So when things got difficult for Elimelech and for the family, their decision was to turn away from a righteous God. They walked away from him. They tried to fend for themselves, do things their own way, and try to do things in their own strength. So the question is, when life gets hard, which way will we turn? We may not literally pick up sticks and move to a different country when things go bad. And in fact, in these circumstances, that would be very hard to do. But when things get hard, is our response to turn away from God? God who is righteous and who is just? Do we blame him and get angry with him? Maybe we give him the silent treatment when things get really hard in our lives. When our world is spinning out of control, or our own circumstances have been turned on their heads, do we turn away from God? Do we try to fend for ourselves, doing things our way, relying on our strength? Do we think, I'll get us through this? Because in our world right now, things are looking pretty bleak. Are your own circumstances making you feel helpless? Well, the book of Ruth is for you. When life gets hard, we need to ask this question: which way will we turn? Will we turn away from God? Or will we turn to him? Well, Naomi finds herself in an even more bleak situation than she started with. Before she left, there was a famine. That's not good. But now she's in a foreign land, no husband, no sons, and essentially no means of providing for herself or her two daughters-in-law. She's facing certain death. But when she gets word in Moab that Yahweh has come to the aid of his people, she makes a decision to go back. Food had arrived back again in Bethlehem. The famine was over. The house of bread was beginning to fill up again. The chocolate croissants were back on the shelves. So they start the journey back to Bethlehem. Look at verse 7. It says, with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. But as they're traveling, Naomi stops and reasons with her daughters-in-law that they should go back to their own homes instead of returning to Bethlehem with her. Why would you come with me? She says. There's nothing for you in Bethlehem. There's no husbands, no children, only uncertainty, possibly starvation. She spells it out very logically for them. Even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? No. There's nothing for you in Bethlehem. We read that there were many tears. They kissed. They wept. And Orpah, one of her daughters-in-law, she concedes to Naomi's logic. She kissed Naomi goodbye, and she returns back to her people and back to her gods. But we're told that Ruth clung to her. The name Ruth means friend, and Ruth really shows herself to be a friend to Naomi. I don't know what you cling to, but I'm reminded of our son Perrin, who clings to us. When we're trying to do something other than play with him, we try to tidy the kitchen or make some food in the kitchen, he's at our feet, he's holding our legs, he's desperate to be with us. He clings to us. This is what Ruth has done. She clings to Naomi, desperate to stay with her. But even then, Naomi again tries to convince Ruth to go back. She says, look, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you, said Ruth. Where you will go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Instead of turning back to her own land, Ruth turns to the one true God. She commits herself to Yahweh, the God of Israel. Things didn't look good for Ruth. There was real uncertainty for her to go back to Bethlehem. Going back to her own people, she may have had hopes to remarry. She could have been provided for. But yet she gives up her gods. She gives up her people and chooses to have Yahweh as her God. And that Naomi and the Israelites would be her people. But going back to Bethlehem, Naomi couldn't work. She couldn't provide for Ruth. But yet Ruth commits herself to Naomi and to the one true God. She commits herself to Yahweh. So when times are hard, which way will you turn? Will you just rely on logic to make your decisions? Is the easiest, most certain, most comfortable option the best option? We need to turn to the one true God. We need to turn to Yahweh. We need to commit ourselves to Him in the face of great uncertainty. Ruth didn't know how it was all going to work out, but she put herself firmly in the hands of Yahweh. In these exceptional times that we're living right now, with coronavirus looming over all of us, who will we turn to? Will we turn to the one true God? Or will we turn back to our old gods, our gods of comfort, our gods of reassurance, our gods of entertainment, maybe gods of money, gods of TV, gods of worry, gods of me, looking after myself? Let's not turn back to gods like that at a time like this. Let's turn to the one true God, turn to Yahweh. Even when we don't know what's going to happen, even if it's uncertain what the future will hold, we can trust Him because He's righteous. He is sovereign. Naomi reminds Orpah and Ruth that it's Yahweh's hand at work. We see that in verse 13. She says, "It is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." So how do we turn to Yahweh today? It's a name we don't use very often, and it doesn't even really feature in our Bibles. We see it as the Lord. So how do we turn to Yahweh, the one true God? Well, we turn to Jesus. He's the one we turn to. He's the one we can trust in. He's the one we need to listen to, the one we need to talk to learn from, to trust in. We need to turn to Jesus. He is the one true God. And He can provide for us in ways that all these other fake gods could never provide. We need to turn to the one true God. Well, Naomi and Ruth, they make the journey back from Moab to Bethlehem. We see them do the reverse, following from Moab back to Bethlehem. Well, they arrive back to Bethlehem and you can smell the freshly baked bread wafting through the air. Things are looking better. And the whole town was stirred because of their return. We're told the women of the town exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" In verse 19, things are looking up in Bethlehem, but Naomi is feeling the pain and the sorrow of what she's been through. It's a very understandable and natural reaction. How does she respond? We see what she says in verse 20. She says, "Don't call me Naomi." Naomi means pleasant. That's not who I am. My life is bitter. Much better that you call me bitter. Call me Mara. But in the bitter circumstances of Naomi's life, Naomi returns to the God who's in control. In her pain and her bitterness, we see what Naomi herself thinks about all that's happened to her. We see this in verse 20 to 21. "Don't call me Naomi," she told them.
call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Even in the bitter circumstances of her life, she firmly believes that the Lord, that Yahweh, her God, is the one in control of all these things. And she's right. The Lord has been directing and working in their lives to bring Naomi and Ruth, this woman from Moab, to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. But she's not right about one thing, that the Lord is against her. She says that the hand of the Lord is against me. We saw that in verse 13. He's in control and he's at work, but as we'll see, it's because he is for Naomi, not against her. I wonder, do we quickly make the same mistake as Naomi? When things happen that are really hard, is our reaction first, God must be against me? If he was really on my side, he wouldn't let these things happen. But as the story unfolds, we begin to see that God is not against Naomi. He's working to save this helpless family and save many, many helpless people. But when we think, when we have those thoughts that God is against me, well, maybe we should remember that God should be against us. Because just like Elimelech and his family, we have turned away from God's way of doing things. We've all gone to Moab. Not literally, but in our thoughts and actions, we rebel against God. We disregard what he says, and we do things our way. But God doesn't want us to be enemies with him. He wants to be our friend. And we'll see as the story unfolds in Ruth that God was not just working to rescue Naomi and Ruth. He was working to rescue people from all nations. Jesus came to this world and lived among the brokenness in this world, experiencing the pain and the suffering, the illnesses and disease, and even death on a cross. And he did that to deal with the consequences of going to Moab, of walking away from God. And when we trust him, we go from being God's enemies to being his friends. We see in the book of Ruth that Yahweh is weaving history together for individuals and for the world at large. We see their arrival back to Bethlehem was just at the right time. The very last verse in this chapter 22, we see that they returned from Moab, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. That's important for what's coming next. God was bringing them back just at the right time. He's in control of all of these details. He's in control of everything. So when things get really hard, where will we turn? Will we return to a God who's in control? In control of our individual lives as well as the whole world. He's in control of the bleak, dark days as well as the joyful, bright ones. They're all under his sovereign care and control. And if we're trusting in Jesus, if we have come to the one true God, he's not against us. He is working for our good. So that means that we can trust that God is in control, that he's providentially at work, even through enormous global pandemics. Even if we don't know how, we can trust that he is in control. That's who he is, and that's how he works. As well as these big details in life, We can also trust him with the little details of our own individual lives. He's working when we don't have enough money this month, or when our bank balance is looking nice and healthy. He's working when someone you love gets sick. He's working when they recover and have full health again. He's working when someone passes away, because he's in control through every single thing that we will face, now and in the future. One author writes this about the book of Ruth. He says that Ruth is in the Bible to prepare us for bitter providences by showing us again and again that God is doing 1,000 things that we do not know, and they are meant for our good. That picture that God is doing 1,000 things behind the scenes that we're not aware of. He's in control and we can trust him. God is at work in ways right now that we just can't see. Naomi couldn't see all that God would do, but she knew that he was in control. Everything is under his control, and he is calling us to make good decisions as we go, to do what is right in his eyes, not what is right in our own eyes. So when life gets hard, which way will you turn? Will we turn away from God? Or will we turn to God, the one true God, trusting in his control, in his power over our lives, and resting in the security and the hope that that brings, even when the road ahead is so uncertain? Listen to these words as we finish from Romans chapter 8. It says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Let's pray as we finish. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word, and we thank you for the incredible God that you are. We pray for help to not turn away from you when things become difficult, when life is hard, but that we would turn towards you. We would turn our eyes to Jesus, commit ourselves to him, and rest in the certain knowledge of his control of all things in this world and in our lives. We thank you for that control, Lord, for that security and hope that we have. Please help us, Lord, in the days ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen.